Blog Talk Radio.
Version of our Frat House Sports' cleanup hitters coming to you here on August 18th, and we're looking all around the landscape of Major League Baseball. And it occurred to me, I guess this afternoon, funny how these things just kind of occur to you, you know what I mean? I mean, you kind of know it, but it's when you sit there and do the math, and I'm sitting there doing the math, and I'm going, wow. There's only about 40-plus games left to the regular season. That's it. And there you go. Past the midpoint of the month of August. How about that one? Well, we're going to be talking a little bit of baseball here. Going to be joined in here momentarily, as usual, by Caleb. Caleb will be jumping in here, hopefully. We'll get Caleb in here. We had gotten news last week that Sean, who has been with us from the very, very beginning of the season, well, unfortunately, would be missing quite a few of our programs as we go down the line into the end of the season, as he had just gotten, hey, good for him, a promotion, and would, be doing a lot of on-the-road work. So we don't have Sean with us tonight. I did get word today, though, that we will have Sean back with us in here on September 1st, 2 weeks from now. So we will get some times in and out with Sean throughout the remainder of the baseball season, but just not this evening, as we're kind of waiting on his schedule. Big promotion for him. Good for him. We wish him all the best on that from right here at Frat House Sports. But we are going to be getting into a bunch of things, and as we usually do, it seems like, well, every week since the All-Star break, we have gotten in. We start out. We got to talk about what's going on in both the AL East and the NL East. These were not, I think, the two divisions that everybody thought was going to be capturing people's imaginations here from about the midpoint of the season, and certainly not at the midpoint of the month of August. But that's where we are. The AL East and the NL East, we'll be talking about it. We're going to be talking about, the second trade deadline. You know, Major League Baseball's got not just one, but they've really got two trade deadlines. We're going to talk about that. We're going to be talking about the schedule that was just released for the playoffs. And my goodness gracious, are you ready for this one? We're actually, if the World Series were to go to a full seven games, folks, that's not occurring until after Election Day. How much further into the calendar can we possibly take baseball? And yet, some want to add more to the playoffs by making that wild card thing that goes on in the AL and the NL, want to make that a three, maybe a five-game series. How in the world is that even possible? Brian Mitchell last night took a heavy-duty hit to the face. A lot of you saw it. We've seen quite a few pitchers this past year get beamed right back from the plate, home plate. Many are calling for protection, particularly head protection, for the pitchers. NFL's got a little bit of a problem. Could Major League Baseball in the future? These are just a few of the things that we're going to be talking about as we go through the evening. And, well, hey, why don't we do this? Let's jump around here real quick and let's get everybody in with us. And from what I understand, God bless Blog Talk Radio. From what I understand, we have connection issues tonight. Caleb, I think you're experiencing some.
Yeah, I am. I'm finally here, but it's been weird again. So hopefully we can get moved on over to that new site eventually here. That'd be great.
Yeah, because it's I can hear the frustration in your voice. Trust me, as the kind of guy that directs things over here and is in charge of how many programs? Oh, and you know, listen, we only want to add a couple more because, yeah, we're only going to add a couple more. One of them is going to be added with this guy right here. We got Nick Swartz jumping in with us to take Sean's place. Everybody knows Nick. He's coming to us. Baseball Hot Corner. That's where you can pick up what he's writing on in Major League Baseball. Nick, thanks for joining us this evening.
My pleasure as always.
And, you know, look, right now, let's see. We've got one, two, three, four programs on the network. We're talking about the NFL program kicking back up in September. We're talking about a brand-new NHL program in September. Oh, this Saturday, we'll be debuting a fantasy football program on the second half of our Frat House Saturday program. That'll be program number 7, and Blog Talk Radio can't get their act together, as all of our people are now joining in with us via phone, since there's no Skype capabilities. Thank you very much, Blog Talk Radio. Hey, you guys want to know why we want to get out of here and go to a different platform that won't charge us a penny for what you people are charging us for? This is a disgrace. Absolute disgrace.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be a lot easier to actually work with, and their site's going to be a lot easier. I know that it is because I've actually checked it out, and it looks wonderful because it's just nice and simple, and it's great. It's great, great stuff.
And from what I understand, Caleb, they've got some new rollouts that are going to be coming up here, unless they've already rolled those out. I haven't had a chance to take a look at the site, and I'm not giving away who it is. If anybody wants to know, you got to get over and you got to hit me up over on my Facebook page. Go to Frat House Sports, leave spaces in between, look for our little purple icon, and we'll fill you in on who this new platform is that could take this stinking platform, Blog Talk Radio, over. Have they rolled out the new, did you notice? Because I haven't looked at it, I guess, in about 2 weeks. There were promises of a new rollout of enhancements. So perhaps maybe that's what you're saying.
I haven't had a shot to check it out yet. So I need to go. You know what? I might actually go check just a little bit. Actually, why not? Why don't I go and check right now and just see if they have? Why not?
Well, anyhow, let's do this. We're going to try to get through this program the best we can without completely diminishing Blog Talk Radio. Somebody's buzzing. We're trying to figure out who that is. I'm not sure if it's somebody, you know, I don't know if this is part of the BTR issues or not. We'll try to get through it. Here's what we would need everybody to do. Jump in with us, please. Obviously, the phones are working. Skype, obviously, probably is not. So you're not going to get through to us on Skype, but 347-826-9964 is the number that you can get a hold of us on right here at Blog Talk Radio, 347-826-9964. Chat room does appear to be open. We have some guests in there. Thank you very much. We appreciate you listening in. Hit me up over on Skype. I'm going to hit up right now. I'm going to send out our Frat House Sports Twitter poll right now, and the question tonight is, should Major League Baseball All-Star Wildcard and NL Wildcard playoff games be expanded to a 3- or 5-game series? That's our question for tonight. Should the Major League Baseball AL Wildcard and NL Wildcard playoff games be expanded to a 3- to 5-game series? Hit me back up. Frat House. Mike, answer that question right there. I check my notifications constantly, so you can participate in our real-time live poll as it's going on. All right, let's do this. Caleb, you there with me?
I am. I'm here.
Okay, do you have the how things? You got the sports? Do you have Caleb's sports machine ready to rock and roll?
Oh, well, of course I do.
Well, of course you do. Well, let's get
tonight
to it.
Through the use of the sports machine.
All right, there you go. Let's find out what's going on around the league.
All right, well, we got the Diamondbacks in Pittsburgh. It looks like they've got first and third here. No outs already. The Mets and the Orioles are now delayed. Twins and Yanks. The Blue Jays, wow, one zip already over the Phillies. not sure who hit that bomb, but someone did. So then after that, we've got the Royals in Cincinnati, the Mariners against the Rangers, the Tigers in Chicago to face the Cubs, Marlins in Milwaukee, Rays in Houston, the Giants taking on St. Louis, the Nationals in Colorado, the White Sox taking on the Angels, the Dodgers and the A's, and finally to wrap the night up, Atlanta in San Diego.
The game that it just strikes me, I mean, just looking at it, and as we're going to move into talking about a few things that are happening right now, that one game right now that's in a rain delay really, really, really holds a lot of importance, in my opinion, for both teams. And that's the Mets playing down in Baltimore. Right now, the Orioles are 61-56 and in third place in the AL East, while the Mets are in first place, I believe, I know they're in first place, 4.5 games in front of the Washington Nationals. They're in first place in the NL East, 63-55. Orioles have a tremendous home record, 36-20. This is a game that means a lot, really, for both teams, in my opinion. Not only does it really firm up, and it's a series. It's not just a game. It's a series. But it not only firms up, it not only firms up the Mets' stranglehold now, which is what it's becoming, on the NL East, but I guess, really, it means more for the Orioles. They need that to stay in contention in the AL East. Yes? Jump in, folks, because this is going to lead us right into where we're going to go.
Yeah,
I think with Baltimore, they need to step up and win, you know, every series from here on out. I know about 2 weeks ago, I think the figure was something like 15 games over 500 the rest of the way they had to go to theoretically win a wild card spot. Just looking at the different graphs and stuff they put out. It also gives a gauge for each team, the Mets and the Orioles, to really show where they're at. The Mets are just coming off a series loss to the Pirates. This is a big series for both teams too. I think it's a bigger series for the Orioles than it is for the Mets, because I think the Mets are running away with the NL East. And also with the American League East and the Yankees and Blue Jays, you know, pulling away there. There's way more pressure on the Orioles, in my opinion, in this series.
Certainly, I would agree with you because of the fact that, of course, they're in third place. 15 games over 500, though, isn't impossible. I don't know. When was that stat thrown out there, Nick?
That was about 2 weeks ago. Graph was put out was talking about the Toronto Blue Jays, which led into a whole talk about the American League East. Mm-hmm. It was like saying, you know, theoretically, like, throughout the games, if the Yankees play at a below 500 pace, or 500 pace exactly, where the Orioles would need to do to overtake the Yankees, and then it broke it down even further with the other teams in the AL, and how this graph projected it was that there would be both wild cards would come out of the AL East, and it was Baltimore needed to play, I believe, 15 games over 500. It was probably like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I've seen that.
Which isn't impossible. I mean, if you throw that scenario at another team, I think you throw that scenario at the Texas Rangers, they might look at that and go, oh, man alive. But I don't know. I think for Baltimore, I think it's doable. But
I think it is, too. Yeah. I mean, the Cubs, heading in for yesterday, they had won 16 of 19. So I definitely think it's a possibility for the Orioles because they're a similar type of a team in that they have really, really, really good offense, and their pitchers have finally showed up. And so I really think that they can make a run like that to try to overtake. So I think that definitely the AL East is the most interesting division for us to all watch as it kind of finishes out. Mm. I think that there's going to be some shakeups there that we're going to be like, whoa, where did that even, like, when did that even happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's, you know, this is the thing that I started out the show by saying, it feels like we've been talking about both the AL East and the NL East, almost nonstop since, the middle of the season, since the All-Star break. Let's continue talking about it for a moment. Because one of the things that jumped out at me from the useless power rankings that we use here, we love to make fun of the power rankings, but we talk about them every week, Nick, as you well know. Mm-hmm. USA Today's power rankings for this week. There wasn't really much there, and I don't expect to see a whole hell of a lot coming out of this, really, from this point forward as we go into the remainder of the season. But there, to me, significantly, the Washington Nationals dropping back down another two spots, now in 14th, ranked 14th. That's almost mid-pack, guys. The Washington mm-hmm. Nationals were considered to be they were absolutely going to be the team that was going to win the NL East. They were going to be one of the three teams coming out of the National League. And now this might be a team that won't even make the playoffs. I mean, it is absolutely staggering to me to see how far and how quickly this team has dropped. What are your thoughts on the Washington Nationals?
Well, I think that they need to win like a crazy amount of games. I just don't understand what they're just falling apart. And the funny thing is that, like you said, they've been favored since January. I mean, they've been the heavy favorite even in the entire NL, and that's been for, the past, four seasons, right? Definitely two seasons. They've been the heavy, heavy favorite, and they've just dropped off. I feel like that Harper and a couple of the other guys with their giant egos of theirs kind of get their team, they're not in a good mental state at all. So I feel like mm-hmm. Harper really being the face of that entire franchise, being such a cocky, egotistical man that he just doesn't help that team at all because there is absolutely no, oh, hey, we suck, so we need to win. There is no, I'm doing a thing wrong. I need to fix this. It's like, oh, no, we are having a great time. It's fun. Wait, it's fun to lose? What? So I don't understand their dugout. They just don't seem to have that
sense of urgency.
That is just
sense of urgency.
Trying to, yeah. There's no sense of urgency. There is not a fire trying to be lit under them. There is nothing. There is absolutely nothing. But you look at the Mets. Oh, they are going to win that East. They are ready, and they want it. They're hungry. For the Nationals, they just seem like, whatever. I don't really care. That's what it seems like.
Nick, it sounds to me like Caleb's putting a lot of the blame of the Nationals problem at the feet of Bryce Harper. I'm not sure that I would. I think it's a whole team problem. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, every team sport obviously is a team game. You win and lose. But especially in baseball, And especially at the position, he's an outfielder. Is he the face of the franchise? Yes. Is he one of the best players in the game? Yes. Single-handedly, win or lose any game. Either way, you know, that's how it is with any sport, but really with baseball. Well, as an outfielder, you know, yeah, you're in the middle of the lineup. You can't single-handedly. I mean, maybe a game, but not the drop that they've taken, not the, you know, fall from championship aspirations like they had to, you know, where they're at now, chasing the Mets. That doesn't fall in the lap of Bryce Harper at all. The Washington Nationals have had this problem for a few years, if you remember. I remember a few years back when they pulled Strasburg when he had so many innings and people were concerned, like, what if we never make it back to the playoffs? Like, this is our best chance. And how it's looking is, here again, the Nationals are blown up. And there's no real explanation, because if you look at this team on paper, they're way better than the Mets. Like I've said before on this show, like I've said to both of you, I have absolutely no idea how the New York Mets are doing this. With, you know, recently more because they added some, you know, a bat. But even you know, with Cespedes, he's one player. One player will not win or lose. The Mets have a wonderful pitching staff. They play in the parking lot, which helps their pitching. But how well that they've been playing is insane. I mean, last week, what did they win? Like 8 in a row or something like that. Before they ran into the Caleb's Pirate.
They were hot. And see, that's the thing. They've got a sense of urgency, and they really want it. My thing about Harper is that he's not being a leader. He's not trying to rally all the troops. He's just kind of sitting there, like, whatever. Now, like you said, Nick, of course, it's a baseball game. You cannot single-handedly win unless you're the pitcher once a week and you just have a perfect game every single outing. Then, yeah, you could actually win. But, like you said, Harper, you know, a middle of the order, he's not going to win the game or lose the game for you. But he needs to be that leader. Since he is the face of the franchise, he needs to be a leader. And he needs to bring that urgency that they're trying to find, and they just can't find a leader to really give that. And when a face of your franchise is not being that sort of a leader and not trying to have some sort of sense of urgency, you know that you are in big, big trouble.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Caleb, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if anybody in that clubhouse views Bryce Harper as a leader. With due respect, who would be an ideal leader of the Washington Nationals? And frankly, you might be onto something, Caleb. It might be that this team is void of leadership. Just because you're the face of the franchise doesn't mean you're necessarily the leader. I would agree with you that Bryce Harper is the face of that franchise. But who should be a leader? Well, Ryan Zimmerman could be a leader. Ian Desmond could be a leader. I'm looking at a veteran guy. That's who I'm looking to. And I'm wondering whether this team is just void of leadership. And that's really what the problem is here, because as I'm seeing it, this is not a problem that you can lay at the feet of one person. This looks to me like to be a full-scale team breakdown. That's what it appears to me. Or perhaps maybe it was a team that had a foundation built on sand. You don't understand what I'm saying? Nick, jump in.
I wanted to jump in with Caleb was talking, because I think that, well, first and foremost, like, how do you know? Like, how do you know that Bryce Harper is not behind the scenes leading this team? I think a true leader isn't one who does it in front of cameras. I think a true leader is one that leads the clubhouse. And I also believe that, you know, being a leader and, like, having the perfect leader is one of the most overrated parts of sports. Like, you know, having a especially in baseball, you know, he's not pitching. You know, like, each individual, it's a team sport, but you have individuals going up. Like, you can go in and you can get in faces. Like, that's what the manager's job for. That's what the manager's there to do, is to get people going. to light a fire underneath their butts, like to really figure out what's going on, you know, why such and such isn't doing hitting such and such, or you know, why they're having problems in the field and those different issues. But from a team span standpoint, you only can do so much as a player to get other people. You know, like, would you do want him to be like this rah-rah guy, like with pom-poms, like a cheerleader? Like, what exactly could he do differently, like, realistically, that would change anything? I've played on some really good teams, won a few state championships, and not at the level that obviously he's at, but I think that in sports is like a microcosm, you know, even at the lower levels, one person can't do it. And I don't look at the Washington Nationals and think, you know what, they're lacking is of the leadership from the face of their franchise. No, what I see is a team that had a lot more holes than everyone assumed going into the season, and this falls on anyone's plate. It's the manager of the Washington Nationals, the GM of the Washington Nationals, because a lot of this stuff they've done in the last couple of years has been really questionable, especially from the upper management. But this isn't falling for Bryce Harper. Like, I've been on here a few times, and it seems to me, my personal opinion, that Caleb may have a little issue with Bryce Harper. Maybe he wishes he was a Pirate. I don't know, but there seems to be something shady going on here with Caleb and Bryce Harper. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, but all right. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a moment, because I just came back on Caleb. Now I'm going to come back on you, Nick. Because we have heard teams say before that they have credited, and I'm not talking about just this year. We've heard about it historically from other teams in the past, that they were built, that the team was built upon or was able to have success upon the shoulders of numerous veteran leaders in their clubhouse. And they may not necessarily be the manager. So, I mean, in some respects, I'm getting the impression that you're saying, well, the whole leader in the clubhouse thing doesn't have any there's no weight to that whatsoever. I don't know.
I didn't say there's no weight to it at all. I'm not saying that. I'm going to pull out the Yankees, for example. I don't think that there's one definitive leader on that team.
I'm glad you are. I'm going to go to the next. I was going to go to the next.
I don't think there's one definitive leader. And I know where I assume that you're going to go is that Derek Jeter. Well, a lot of things that I've heard about those Yankee teams is Derek Jeter was the face of the franchise from the media standpoint, and he was the leader of the clubhouse from the media standpoint. But the Yankees have a police themselves policy that is the whole team, and I truly believe in that. And this Yankees team is a perfect example. Like, everyone thought, where would that come from, that leadership, that great leadership that, you know, every team needs to, you know, to do great. Like, what would the Yankees do without the great Derek Jeter not around anymore? Well, the thing is, what they did is they have a bunch of leaders. You know, they have veterans, you know, helping the new guys, being there, not getting in their face, because the Yankees have been down. They've lost a bunch of games in a row, and they've come back, and they have that fire that's like the 98 team did before Derek Jeter was the big Derek Jeter that he is now, or was last year, or even now in general. I'm not saying there's nothing to it, but I'm saying that it takes a village to raise a child. Like, it's not one particular person. You know, I don't think that it's one person can lead. You know, what if they don't respect them?
Okay, so hold on. Let me go to the Yankees for a moment. And I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't even going to suggest that it might be Alex Rodriguez. I guess my question to you was, how much of a leader is Joe Girardi in that clubhouse right now? Or are the Yankees really being, pardon my old phraseology here, are they being pulled up on by their bootstraps by somebody else?
I don't think that Joe Girardi is the type of manager that is one of those Pinella, the tug comes to mind, Buck Showalter. I don't think he's one of the managers. He's more of a player's manager, and he's more of a manager that lets players police themselves. He lets the clubhouse handle it. I don't see Joe Girardi as one of those managers that that does that. I think this Yankees team is being led by a few individuals, and I think that's what it takes to win. To bounce a little bit back to the Nationals, the Yankees have, you know, A-Rod, you know, Brett Gardner, Teixeira, McCann, guys that have been there before, guys that are older, that have been in the league, the Yankees have also had a lot of influx of younger players coming up. And then you have the vets there helping out. Like, beginning of the season, when Didi was having some problems at shortstop, one of the best shortstops in Major League Baseball history, Alex Rodriguez, who is now the DH, was coming to the stadium hours and hours early to go out there with the infield coach and Didi, going over things and helping him to slow the game down for him. Since then, Didi's defense has gotten extremely better. Perfect example of being able to lead. You know, no one would have thought A-Rod would be one of those guys, and not this year, not any year. But he's just one small component of many in the Yankees clubhouse. They are being led by each and every person, and they seem to be having fun in their loop. And that, I think, is right there. The biggest problem with the Nationals is they're tight. They're concerned. They're supposed to win. They have the pressure on their back. I think that is a larger issue than anything to do with Bryce Harper. The expectations that they've never lived up to.
For anybody out there that's listening, and I know we have quite a few, please, hey, don't hesitate to give us a call here, 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us right here if you've got a comment or a question on what we're talking about. We're going through the AL East. We're going through the NL East as well, talking about, wow, both those divisions turned out to be quite a surprise. We didn't expect it. I have been advised that apparently Skype is now currently operating, so if anybody's listening on a computer and you want to Skype into us, well, give it a shot. We'll see how it goes. I have noticed at least some of the background noise has disappeared. So it's all, you know, at least maybe perhaps some of this problem is getting corrected. We were getting beeps, and so I wanted to apologize for that as well. If you want to leave us a comment in the chat room, do that, please. Otherwise, hit me up over on Twitter, @FrathouseMike. We're just kind of going through here for a moment. The breakdown of the Washington Nationals. You know, there's been a lot of talk about collapses. I almost think you've got to – I, look, it's still early. I hate to sound like Nick.
Whoa.
Oh, no, I don't mean you. I don't mean you. I mean our other Nick. Nick was telling us. Nick was telling us right up until the All-Star game that it was still early. It does kind of – the Nationals, though, do feel like a collapse. I mean, that's just kind of the way it feels to me, despite the fact we're in mid-August and we still have 6 weeks left of the season. I mean, it feels like a collapse. I mean, it certainly, I guess, doesn't go down to some of the historical collapses, but that's just kind of the way it feels. When you take a look at where the standings are right now, 4.5 games out of first, I'd have to sit down and take a look at the next 40-plus games on both teams. Throw it out there, guys. Who's winning the NL East? Whoever comes in second, they're not getting a wild card. That we know.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever comes in second is not getting a wild card. Who's winning the NL East? Mets or Washington? Caleb, what do you think?
I got the Mets. I mean, I really honestly do. Right now, the pitching is wow. Just wow. And they're actually hitting pretty well, all considering that they don't really have – you know, that bigger bat. I mean, I guess you could say a Cespedes, yeah, would probably be their biggest bat. Maybe a Duda could be, you know, that really, really big hitter. But they just, on paper, man, the Nationals, they look just so good. And the Mets don't seem that fantastic. But they're playing out of their minds. And I really do think that they're just gonna keep it up, and I really don't see the Nationals finding a way out of this. They might find a little way out of this, but not enough to try to catch up to the Mets.
Nick, Mets or Nationals?
You know, like I've said multiple times, I'm not quite sure how the Mets are doing. I know that they have a fantastic pitching staff. You can't talk with them enough. They're young. They're playing the perfect park. You know, like that is one thing that the Mets have assembled. They've assembled the perfect team for the perfect stadium. I would have probably said a week or so ago that the Nationals and I would have thought that the Mets would have not been able to hold on. But just looking at it recently, just so surprised how well the Mets are playing. And like I was saying earlier, how the Nationals seem so tight and with all these expectations that they've never lived up to. And their big guns aren't, they're not performing from the pitching standpoint or the hitting standpoint. I think the Mets win it.
Now, let me just take this one further step for a moment. And then I want to get off of it and we'll go over to the AL East. Because that one I think is actually more compelling. If that occurs, this has to go down as a major fail for the Washington Nationals. Does this team get blown up at the end of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you have to. I think there's jobs going to be lost, and there's going to be a lot of finger pointing. You got to reassemble this because something's going wrong here. Because on paper, like obviously you don't win championships on paper, but this team should be, you know, not only competing for a World Series after World Series, but they should be definitely blowing the Mets out of the water. They're not. So some people need to be losing their jobs, and they need to readjust and figure out what's going on here because they do have a good young core and an opportunity to bounce back a lot faster than the majority of teams. So the president, owner, whoever is around and making the final shots, they need to pull it together and get rid of whatever's wrong. And I think that starts with the manager.
Yeah, it's Dan Rizzo, right? Dan Rizzo is a general manager. Caleb, what's your thought? They get blown up?
Yeah. Yeah, I really do.
Real simple. Yep.
Yeah.
Done. Mm-hmm. Explosion. We'll hear it here in Philadelphia. Let's get over and talk about the AL East, because as I pointed out right from the very start, this is actually a bit more compelling because as we've discussed, and let me look at this here real quick. We've got three teams up there with the Yankees, Toronto, and Baltimore, all of whom would be representing the AL. Two of them as wildcard teams. Right now, if the season concluded, it would be Toronto and the Orioles. Now, is that going to hold out, guys? What do you think? Is this? I mean, you know, I've heard a lot of different things. And, you know, up until this past weekend, it looked like this is the ebb and flow of baseball. This is what you got to love about it. You know, in some respects, we're going to talk about, do we cut the season back? Let's start lopping games off the season. Well, maybe we don't want to because the ebb and flow of baseball is really incredible. You know, before last weekend, it felt like it was Toronto Blue Jays division to win. Toronto goes to New York, if I'm not mistaken. Weren't they in New York? They were in New York, and they got swept by the Yankees. They didn't win a single – no, I'm wrong. They won
one
game.
No, actually swept the Yankees.
Wait, hold on. No, they didn't.
Yes, so last year when Toronto was in New York, they beat the Yankees, and then the Yankees went up to Toronto this past weekend and won 2 of 3 and took first.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, no, okay, that's what I'm talking about. This past weekend, this past weekend. Now, who won? The Yankees won that series. They won it two games to one, right? Okay, that's the series I'm talking about. Where was that? In Toronto?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And that was the series that I thought, okay, this is going to be Toronto's easily. Toronto only won one game. That was the series, in my opinion, and I'm going to be honest with you, if this thing gets turned around and the Yankees end up winning the AL East, I have a sneaky suspicion there are going to be a lot of Yankees fans and the Yankees themselves might be looking back to that weekend, last weekend, going to Toronto and doing what they did because it seemed to turn it for a minute, and now the Yankees are up on top by one game. That's when it felt like, to, you know, prior to that, I'm thinking, hey, this is all Toronto. Yankees are going to be in second place. Baltimore is going to be in third. Does anybody want to take a guess on where this thing's going to go at this point right now? I mean,
I would love to take a guess.
You're the Yankees. You're the Yankees guy. So jump in here. Where in the world? I mean, realistically, now let's take our blue pinstripe glasses off, and let's look at this realistically. Toronto, a lot of analysts have been saying for the past couple of weeks, at least since the trade deadline, Toronto is hands down going to win this division. What say you?
Well, first of all, I say that I never wear pinstripe glasses. I think that maybe
I know.
I'm harder on the Yankees than I am on any other team. You can just use last night as an example. I was talking to Caleb during the game,
mm-hmm.
and when any player came up, except Greg Bird, I had something negative to say about him. I tear this team apart. I love him to death. I've been a fan since 1983, a hardcore fan going to games. So I've been watching the ups and downs. That's how I write. That's how I talk. And for better or worse, you know, I'm a pretty critical fan. But looking at the East, you know, obviously with the big moves that Toronto made, getting Tulo and, you know, David Price, and you mix that in with already the top rated offense in Major League Baseball, playing in a very hitters-friendly stadium, you have the setup for what looks to be like an easy, you know, win for the AL East. But baseball is one of them games where, like the ebb and flow that you were talking about. You know, Toronto had won, I believe, 12 straight before the Yankees came back on Price on Friday night. I don't think that anyone could point out concrete, obviously, where exactly it's going to go. But if you look at these teams, I think the Yankees are built better to win in September and October. They have a better starting pitching staff. They have the best bullpen in Major League Baseball. And obviously there's a big if the Yankees can stay relatively healthy. They win the AL East. Obviously last night, Mark Teixeira had an injury negative on the x-rays to his calf. He's a major player in this because it seems like sometimes in sports, there's that team that just gets hot and they have some sort of spark and this team is special. And I refer to the 98 Yankees a lot because this team reminds me of that, where, you know, there's not one other than the bullpen. There's, you know, you got everybody playing at the same time really well. And having Tanaka step up, pitch a complete game on Saturday to beat the Blue Jays in Toronto. That was key. Last night, the Yankees go into the 10th inning with not one pitcher left in the bullpen. Their starter gets knocked out from a line drive. They come back and they win that game, which was a leadoff double by another rookie, Greg Bird, who's come up this year. This team's special. And I'm not looking at it on paper. I'm not looking at it through pinstripe, you know, glasses. I'm looking at this from many years as a sports fan and many years as a Yankee fan. This team just has that specialness to them. And I'm not saying that it's not going to be a bumpy, nerve-breaking job, you know, ride to the end of the season, because it's going to be stressful. But in the end, Yankees win it.
I have a tremendous amount of appreciation for exactly what you're saying as the type of fan that you are. It was 4 years ago that I got the opportunity to go as a Phils fan to see the Phils play at Busch Stadium. I was with a very good friend of mine, Sidekick, who's on a lot of our programs right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. The fans in St. Louis were belittling me as we were approaching our seats. We've got more Phillies fans. You know, I'm sick of these guys. Well, hey, the fans around me during that game were laughing hysterically at how I was criticizing and yelling out to the field more at my own team than I was at St. Louis. The Phils ultimately lost that game. That was the game, by the way, I don't know if anybody remembers, but we lost. It might have been Roy Oswalt's last game. It might have been his last game. It was a game where we lost him for a good deal of time. And if, in fact, he actually came back at all later in the season, he only came back for a couple of games before he was actually done. So I appreciate exactly what you're saying. Let's look down this real quick. it's going to come down to the Yankees and Toronto Blue Jays. There's probably no doubt about that in the AL East. Kansas City is clearly coming out of the Central. Houston is clearly coming out of the West. The Angels are still in contention in the wild card. They're only a half game. Texas is still in contention, amazingly. They're only a game out. Minnesota, amazingly, still in contention, just 2.5. Toronto's probably going to get the other wild card. Who gets the second one? Throw out your predictions here on August 18th. Caleb, what do you think?
Man, there's a lot of teams here that could make a run.
This is going to lead right into my conversation that we're going to talk about
teams.
So many teams still in it. Right, go ahead.
I've got two teams that I think one of these two will end up with the wild card. It's either going to be Texas or the Orioles. Those are my top two, and I'm leaning more towards the Orioles right now, just simply because of how crazy hot they are. I really think that they're going to end up having it. The Angels, I just don't think they have anything on offense, really, other than Trout and Pujols. That's it. There's nothing else. The Orioles are a little bit more balanced, so I'm leaning more towards the Orioles here.
What do you think, Nick? You're following AL. What do you think?
I mean, I think the Orioles would be the second wild card, and they have, as much as he drives me nuts now that he's managing the Baltimore Orioles, Buxtehude is one of the best managers in baseball. I got a lot of respect for him, regardless of how he drives me nuts. Seeing him in that other dugout. The Orioles are a strange team. They have a tremendous offense. They have a no-name pitching staff. They do have a nice back end of the bullpen. And that's where I think separates them, because I do think it's going to come down to the Rangers, the Angels, and the Orioles. I think the Angels have checked out on Mike Socha. I think there's a lot of issues going on there in the upper front office, down to the manager. And I think that has spilled over into the team. And, from the Josh Hamilton stuff to, the GM's fired and, just the different things going on there. And then their play, it just seems that they're going hand in hand there. So I think that you look at the Rangers and the Orioles then. The Rangers did add Cole Hamels, and that was a wonderful trade for both sides. I don't see them finishing better than the Orioles. The Rangers play really well at home because they have, it's a great hitter's ballpark. But they don't have the pitching staff, and they definitely don't have the bullpen that the Orioles do. And Buxtehude is one of the best managers in baseball, and I think that it's going to be very close, but the Orioles nab the second wild card.
All right. Now, as we continue to move through all of this speculation, and as you rightfully pointed out last evening in a conversation, Nick, it really is amazing. And I think in some respects, you got to pat Major League Baseball on the back for adding that second wild card, because there are, particularly in the American League, so many teams still in conversation to make the playoffs. And now we've been having a conversation over here on our side, dating back now a month, perhaps maybe 5 weeks now, right here on Frat House Sports. We've had a conversation dating back about 5 weeks now to, hey, the trade deadline is just way too early. Because, look, there are too many teams still involved in it. And yet, Major League Baseball has got an anomaly here that a lot of other sports do not have. They've got something called the waiver rules. Now, this all starts to get a little bit convoluted, doesn't it, guys? Huh? I mean, shouldn't we just stick with one deadline and leave it at that? Now we've got a waiver deadline situation where we can still have guys being traded. Who wants to address the second wave of trades that we might see yet. Anybody want to jump in there on that one? Nick, I know you were a little bit vocal about it last night. Go ahead. Start it off for us.
Well, with Major League Baseball and the trade deadline, like, you know, what we were talking about last night a little bit, is there should really be one. You know, not only should there only be one trade deadline, but also moving it back. Too many teams think that they have a chance. Using the San Diego Padres as a perfect example, the Yankees were trying to add a little bit to the bullpen and make a trade with the Padres, but the Padres, you know, at least on the surface, said that they felt like they're still competitive. So they held on to some pieces. I think that's a PR move by a lot of teams, especially, but Major League Baseball puts it on them by having the trade deadline on July 31st with a non-waiver trade deadline, for goodness sakes. So a lot of teams hold out hope, and even if deep down inside they know or they think that they have no shot, they don't want to give up on July 31st because then they're letting their fan base know, sales go down, people start, you know, stop coming to games if they start shopping their premier players. So I think it's a win all around. If you push it back to, you know, the last day in August, it's a trade
right.
deadline there. I think that it's a win all around. The teams aren't losing money off, you know, the fans knowing that they give up. They're not getting the blowback from, you know, people like us and the fans and the rest of the national media. And it also helped, you know, all organizations. It's a win all around to move it back and to have one.
Our other panelist, Nick, who's right now on vacation, I think I actually hear him screaming from wherever he is. Hold on a moment. Let me put my head out the window and see if I can hear that echo, because I believe I do. Caleb, I like what Nick's saying here. I got no problem with it. Caleb, you can weigh in because we talked about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it the week before. We talked about it the week before that. I've been the only one that's been sitting here going, this trade deadline thing's got to be changed. Go ahead, jump in. Nick's saying push it back to the end of August. What do you think?
Well, I mean,
And basically what we do is we combine everything. Now everything's all inclusive. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I personally am not a fan of the waiver wire trade thing. That is the stupidest thing. I mean, why even have that? What's the point? That's stupid. Now, I realize I feel like it's kind of Major League Baseball's way of
mm-hmm.
helping the team out, in a sense. It's like, hey, I realize that we should change this, but we're not. So we're just going to, you know, add this extra little thing in there to, you know, help you out. But I like where it's at right now. Just for the simple fact that it makes the team kind of guess, and it gives a lot more teams hope to try to go out and then make a trade. For example, the Blue Jays. All right, so just think, if they didn't make any deals, where would they be sitting at? Would they still be where they are, or would they have basically fallen so far out that they
mm-hmm.
would have just like, well, whatever. Would they have tried to go and make all of these amazing moves, sitting 6, 7, 8 games out of the Yankees? Would they have even?
You make a great point. And
that's
And that was the point of my exercise that I did at the middle of July, when I said, okay, I'm going to take a look at who I think the trade partners are going to be. And then I came back and I looked at it in the middle of August. And I said, well, of the teams that are hanging out there, the Blue Jays have to be the X factor, because, you know what? Would they have done what they did at the trade deadline? And you make a very valid point. We don't know whether they would have or not.
Mm-hmm. Now, hey, maybe they even still would have at the exact same time. Hey, maybe they say, you know what, we're going to go at the end of July and we're going to make some huge moves to try to jump us into first. Hey, maybe they still would have, but we can't really tell. So I like it where it's at, but the waiver deadline, I'm not a big fan of it, but I could see how it could potentially help out somebody. But the waiver trade, I mean, what players ever went on there that's actually helped somebody? I mean, there hasn't really
that's a
ever
good
been.
Point. That's a good point. I'd like that we almost needed to do that research.
Yeah, there's never really been, like, I know that last year, the Pirates, they traded a couple of guys. I can't even say who they even traded for. I know that they traded for somebody in August last season and the season before that. I just can't remember who because they didn't help. It didn't really matter. So I don't really think that there's ever been really a team that's really had a waiver trade that's actually helped. And another thing is, yeah, some of the trades are really good, but when has an actual team, they went out like the Blue Jays have here, and they got all these key guys, and it actually helped them win a championship, other than maybe the early 2000 Yankees, who they just went out and they got a bunch of guys. Am I right? Is that the 2000 season when that happened?
2001, they lost to Arizona. So, yeah, like 98, 99. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
98.
Yeah. Because I remember they just went out and they got like three or four big name guys that had helped them win a championship. So I just don't remember which year. But other than maybe
Didn't the Marlins do it the one year that they won back in, I want to say it was mid-90s? Mid-90s?
Wasn't that? Yeah, that was, man, I remember that. I don't remember them making a lot of moves,
maybe?
Though.
Well, they did make some, they made some waiver moves. Because I remember that's when Dalton went. Dalton went to the Marlins in the second round of trades.
I think, but even if they did, I think what Caleb is saying is so perfectly on. Too often we get caught up in these headline making, you know, waiver trades or trade deadline moves or, you know, big acquisitions in the off season. But who's the best team in baseball right now? The Kansas City Royals. What did they really do? Not a whole lot. And they're the best
team
in baseball.
They didn't have to.
No. And it's because the majority of time, and the Yankees learned their lesson, and I thank the good Lord that the Yankees learned this lesson and didn't trade a bunch of their great young, the next core four, in my opinion, that's coming up for a title dream that I don't believe is accomplishable. But the teams that go out and make those moves rarely, if ever, end up winning the World Series. You look at the Cardinals and the Giants, like the teams that have, you know, dominated baseball, they really haven't made those big splashes. And that's one of the non-statistical, non-baseball reasons why I believe the Toronto Blue Jays won't win anything, because the moves that they made, the Blue Jays mortgaged the whole entire farm, literally, their whole farm.
11 pitchers. 11.
Well, I here we go. I knew Caleb was going to jump in on this.
11. Why?
I'm waiting. Here comes Caleb Sermon.
11 prospects. Why? Why on earth would you do that? Gosh. And I was mad that the Pirates, they didn't try to go out and, you know, they were trying to get somebody huge. And then I was like, wait a second. Why do we need somebody when we've got all of the guys? They just have to actually show up. And I'm really actually happy sitting here that they didn't make any huge, insane type of a trade. They just got a bullpen guy. They got somebody to fill in for some injuries, and that's it.
Well, okay. All right. Let me back this up for a moment, because I'm starting to get the impression here that everybody seems to be focusing in on maybe that everybody else's efforts here are useless with the exception of Kansas City. First of all, Nick, a follow-up question to you. Do you believe that the Yankees management at this moment right now does not believe they have a shot at winning the entire World Series this year?
No, I believe wholeheartedly they do. I would think that if you're on a team or you're running a team and you don't truly believe that you're going to win a championship, no matter if you're the Philadelphia Phillies organization or even the New York Yankees organization, you know, you don't deserve to be in your profession. So, yes, I definitely believe they do think that.
Okay, but then they managed. But what you're saying is they made a management decision not to do business as usual, which is we're not going to go out there this year, and we're not going to mortgage the future for this year.
Yeah, because they have the pieces right now. Like, how much they had to look risk versus reward. How much better could they really get by trading one? Like, they have a group of kids that have slowly been coming up. The only one that hasn't hit the majors yet of the top four is Aaron Judge. But the Yankees have a group of players that are special. Greg Bird, Mason Williams, mm-hmm. Aaron Judge, and Luis Severino. These kids are amazing. So you trade one of them, and then they have a shortstop in Single-A who they're all about that. I personally haven't seen. I've seen the other ones. So if they trade one of them and they would have gotten, a David Price, a one-year rental, because how the Yankees are conducting business now is they're not giving, those large long-term salaries that Price is going to want after the season. So they get rid of a player, let's say you, Severino, as a reference on David Price. You know, in 5 years, who's going to have the better record? Who's going to be the better pitcher? In my opinion, it's not David Price. So the Yankees, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, would have got rid of all those players, most likely. It's not, mm-hmm. At least a few of them, to make a run that they, there's also some luck that goes involved in this. Like Rich Sports saying, we know there's luck involved. It's not just skill.
Mm-hmm.
You need things that the ball to bounce your way and all that. So the Yankees, doing this, they're trying to win now, but they're also looking long-term. And it's the first time that I can remember the Yankees ever having this philosophy. And I'm amazed and proud and, mm-hmm. It made me feel great when I didn't see any of them removed.
Okay, you've answered my question perfectly. You went right to where I thought you were going to go with it. That is that basically what we are seeing is we're seeing a change in the business model. It's not business as usual. We're not going to do it the same way. We think we have what we have, and, hey, we're going to let the chips fall where they may, and if we come out of this winners, we do, and if not, guess what? Guys, sit with us tight. We're going to be okay in the next season or two or three. Caleb, let me jump over to you. Now, you're criticizing the Toronto Blue Jays. This was a Toronto Blue Jays team that I recall very, very vividly, what was it, 3 seasons ago, I mean, cashed in big time in the offseason,
mm-hmm.
rolled a die, and guess what? It has come up snake eyes for them, not one season, but 2 seasons in a row, and right
mm-hmm.
now, they're looking at it and they're going, you know what? I don't think our fan base was expecting this. We're buying in, and we're buying in big time total. Is that the wrong maneuver? I don't know if that's the wrong maneuver.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know because, I mean, honestly, like you just said, I feel like they were kind of almost surprised as a manager group that they're like, whoa, wait a second. We're in this. We can actually win the division. And also along with the fans, I feel like you had just said, like they were kind of like, yeah, we're doing all right, but, we don't have a shot. Well, yeah, now they do have a shot. And you know what? The move, looking at it right now, you know what? Yeah, the Blue Jays, it may have been the right deal because it got the fan base really pumped and really ready to win a division. And it's finally getting that city into, hey, we're a baseball town. Like, we're going to get there. In that regard, I feel like that's what they were kind of shooting for, was more of a, hey, look, we are not just going to sit here and, oh, hopefully we can do something good. No, we, as an organization, we will show you, the fan base, that we are ready and we will make some sort of a move to try to win a division and try to win a World Series. And in that regard, yeah, I think it was a pretty good move. But to sacrifice 11 pitchers, why on earth? Oh, gosh. My hands are in my face. Like, why on earth would you do that?
I can hear it.
Oh, gosh. Toronto, why on earth? I mean,
I
get
exactly
it.
Exactly why they did it. Do you know why they did it? Was what you said, you know, about a minute ago about the fan base. I think that each fan base is different. Each, you know, city is different in the expectations. It's been so long since the Toronto Blue Jays were, their fan base were as passionate and, you know, truly believed like they do now. Anyone that watched the Yankees-Blue Jays series over the weekend, I don't remember ever seeing the Rogers Center like it was. It was like a World Series game on all three of those games. That place was packed.
It was. It was amazing.
This fan base is fired up. And, you know, the funny part for me as a Yankees fan is, you know, 2 months ago when they're all ripping on the, you know, their GM, AA, for all the things he did, like literally, you know, 2 days prior to landing, you know, even Kulo or David Price, ripping him for everything that he did. And now they're all jumping back on their little bandwagon that they've been hiding, you know, away from for the last 20 years. I think that part's ridiculous. But I get what the Blue Jays did and why. Because if they win now, you know, and let's say they win the World Series, you know, obviously they've proven that they can sustain a Major League Baseball team in Canada without winning. So thinking of winning here, let's say they win the World Series. Obviously, they know they can go another 20 without, you know, losing their franchise. That's not happening in Philadelphia. That's not happening in New York.
I don't know about that.
In these big markets.
I don't know about that. No, come on.
The Phillies are used to losing. The Phillies are used to losing. So, yes, the fans in general in Philadelphia are used to losing teams. So they may be a little bit more receptive than, you know, a New York. But Toronto would be, I think, the one serious exception to the entire world of Major League Baseball, because those fans have proved that they're used to losing. And they give them a championship, they'll be good. Actually, you know what? I may compare them a little bit with the Philadelphia Philly market and the fans, because, you know, the Phillies won and, you know, they were good. But, you know what? I'm contradicting myself, because I don't believe that that's true, because I listen to the radio every day and I hear how fired up the fans are. I don't think that the Philadelphia fans would be good with going 20 years without, you know, sniffing the playoffs.
Look at the Pirates, 21 years.
They would be. They would be, Nick. The team's not going out. Here's what you see. Philadelphia is a football town. That's the bottom line. We're an Eagles town. All right? So, and you know that as well as I do. Haven't been here as long as you have. All right? When it comes to the Phils, they're one of the oldest teams in all of Major League Baseball. They meander along. They have a solid core base. It is not the same base that the Philadelphia Flyers fans have. That is just something that is abnormal. The Philadelphia Flyers fan base is abnormal. I mean, flat out. They're and I used to count myself as part of them, and I still do, but not as big as I once was. But the Philadelphia Phils fans, they'll always be there. What happens with them is, I hate to admit it, Jimmy Rollins was right. Are there bandwagoners in Philadelphia when it comes to baseball? Yeah, there are. You know why? Philadelphia is a football town. That's what it is. St. Louis? Uh-uh. St. Louis is a baseball town. That's what St. Louis is. So, you know, Detroit? That's a hockey town. that's just the kind of the way it is. Philadelphia Phillies are not going anywhere. They're going to have their valleys, and when those valleys are there, it's going to be really, really bad. I was part of the Philadelphia Phillies Valley in around 1996, 97, 98, when I was going down to the stadium all the time. And that was Old Vet Stadium, and we were on the average, probably about 14,000 people that were showing up, 15,000 people that were showing up in those really lean years after 93. Toronto is unique. I agree with you. Toronto is a unique situation. I believe that the management here was feeling the pinch, because they had done the all-in thing two seasons ago. I don't know what they're – I mean, I got to be honest. I don't know exactly what the Toronto fan base is like. I don't know if they're down the necks of their management up there. I can only assume they were, particularly after going all in. But I agree with you, Nick. Your assessment, I think, is dead on. Or Caleb, whoever it was that mentioned, you know, they're looking back and they're going, holy smokes, we might be able to win this thing. There it is. What about this wild card situation? Well, let's talk about the way that's going to get played out. I've talked to you on here on Frat House Sports many, many times about the fact that, hard to believe, we've actually been on the air here at Frat House Sports well before they ever had the double wild card rule. That's how long we've been on the air here. We'll be coming up on our fourth anniversary. When it was first introduced, Sidekick and I were, outspokenly vocal about the fact we were completely opposed to it. I will tell you right now that I am completely in favor of it. I think what has occurred has been absolutely wonderful. Now people are saying what we need to do is expand it. From it being a one-game playoff or play-in, I guess that's basically the way you'd look at it, kind of like the NCAA wild cards. Oh, aren't they a joke? Those little bracket games that are played like right before the real 64 bracket gets going. They have these little playoff play-in games. Some are saying, hey, take that, expand it. Needs to be three games. It needs to be five. Caleb, I know you feel strongly about it. Jump in.
Yeah, I mean, from a Pittsburgh fan, you know, we've had the past two of them in our city, and it's been, you know, a really awesome thing for the city because, you know, it's a playoff game. The atmosphere is crazy. It's really, really awesome. But when you lose, man, it stings because you know, man, this is our only shot. This is the reason why there is not a one-game series in the regular season because you have a second and a third, even a fourth shot to even jump back to try to win a series in the regular season. And for a baseball game, for a 162-game season to completely fall on one game, that's it. That's really hard for that wild card loser because, man, you just fought for 162 games and it all comes to one game. And at least if you make it into the NLDS or the ALDS, you at least have three games that you have in your season left. And I really would like to see the wild card happen for a three-game series. Five, way too much. No.
Okay.
Three games.
So you're three.
Five would be a whole nother series. That would be stupid. No, but a three-game series, back to back to back, you get one day off, then you would finish out the regular playoffs like you would usually do. So you would have to play extra baseball, but if you win the first two games, you would have an extra day off. And so I would like to see that because that completely takes away a bad game because you have at least one other shot to try to come back. Mm-hmm. And so great example for the Pirates. I mean, they couldn't hit the ball. Now, Bumgarner pitched a fantastic masterpiece game. It was beautiful. He pitched a great, great game. But this would allow for those one, for lack of a better word here, but a one-hit wonder type of a game. Now, obviously, the Giants, they were not that. They had a fantastic season, and they obviously ended up winning it all. But that would kind of get rid of a one-game, one-hit wonder. I mean, I would just like to see it have a little bit more of a shot than just one single wild card game.
Can I ask you a personal question? Is this a personal thing with you? Your Pirates have gotten smitten a few times,
you know,
in a couple of these, and perhaps maybe this is why you want to... Go ahead.
Partially, yes, but I do think that it would overall be a better thing for the teams because, it sucks. It sucks for the Pirates. Yeah, I was mad. Yeah, but this is a more fair way or something like that to really make this. I mean, I just don't think that a baseball season should all come onto one game.
I've liked the one game play-in. I'm going to be honest. I think it makes those. I think it makes those two games exciting. And I have to be honest. I mean, I didn't have any rooting interest in the past couple of years since it's been there. So, therefore, I had no necessary affinity. Nick, three game series. Do we have to move to a three game series for the wild card?
I understand, especially if, being a Pirates fan. I see it was nice that you pulled that in there because I was thinking the same thing. I can see both sides of it. I'm normally not a wishy-washy guy on topics, but with this one, I mean, from the one game, I see the excitement of it, the March Madness of it, the one game. But I also can see the point where the better team doesn't always win. But I think that can be the case even in a three-game series. Let's say you're the Dodgers and you're a very top-loaded rotation. A three-game series, maybe they wouldn't win a seven-game series, but they would. I think the Dodgers could probably beat just about anyone in three games. I'm pretty much middle of the road here. I like it how it is because it's exciting. I don't think I'd like it very much if the Yankees were getting in as the wild card and it all came down to one game. I think and if they were losing repeatedly, not that the Pirates are or nothing like that, it would drive me nuts. I can see both sides of it, but right now, Major League Baseball has to be looking at the playoffs and this whole how it's all set up is a success and why fix something that's really not broken because all kinds of people are interested in that excitement. That one game brings in, the ratings are through the roof, nowhere near what a three-game series would be, in my opinion, because that one game is game seven. So you're starting off with a big bang, and that gets people, maybe the fans that their team's not in tuned in, or the casual baseball fans are excited because it's a one game, and anyone that has any love of sports is going to tune into something like that because it's exciting. So I think that baseball would lose out, and ultimately that's why I don't think it'll ever happen.
Okay, now let's go here for a moment, because if in fact we were to take this to, let's just say for a moment, in fairness, it might be the right thing to do. Take it to a three-game series. I know Sidekick called for that way, way, way back when it was first introduced, and he said even then. And we've got the tape. I should have pulled the tape from probably 4 years ago when he said, hey, my problem with this setup, completely contrary to everything that baseball has always been, and that's the series. So if we go to that, I put out the article today. I sent it out to all both you guys. We're looking at Major League Baseball this year going until November 4th, guys. Election day in this country is November 3rd. If, in fact, the World Series goes to a Game 7, we're going past Election Day, for God's sake.
Yeah,
How much further are we going to take Major League Baseball? It seems to me if we begin expanding series in the playoffs, you've got to simultaneously begin talking about trimming the regular season schedule back. Now, this was a conversation that we had way back at the beginning of the season where it has been discussed. Rob Manfred himself has indicated, well, it might be time for us to revert back to the 154-game schedule. All right. Apparently, Bob Costas, everybody knows, I mean, listen, forget all your personal opinions about Bob Costas. Bottom line is, he truly is a historian of the game. You got to give him to him for that. He came up with a plan where he says, hey, what you do, you go three here, you go five on the next series, which I think currently right now is only three,
No, it's a five game.
Is that a 5-point? All right. So what was his plan? Convert the division series from best of 5 to 7 is what he did. Okay, so that's what he did. He went the NLDS and the ALDS. Actually, it would be the series leading into that one would go from 5 to 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
The division series, yeah. Mm-hmm. It would be the ALDS and the NLDS would go from being 5 to 7. So he says, cut it back to 154. Make the wild card now a 3-gamer. Make the AL and NLDS a 7 from 5. And then, I don't know, he had some other issues in there. And it all worked out to being the right number. And basically everything would end in around the same period of time. All right. Is everybody copacetic with going to a 154 schedule?
I'm not. I said when we were talking about the one game wild card, I don't think that you should baseball needs to change anything. I like how it's going. But I also understand the length, and it seems like baseball is, you know, like how I feel about hockey and like in NASCAR. Like it seems like it's never off. But I think that, you know, the 162 games is what we know, and maybe because like I'm been like that passion I have for baseball is going to be there regardless. It's probably harder for me to look at it objectively than some people that, you know, really don't get into baseball to the end. So again, on this one, oddly, 2 times in a row, I'm a little wishy-washy on something. I can see it going down and it helping a lot. But myself personally, I like it right where it's at. I like everything, how baseball is set up right now. I think that, you know, the changes to the wild card, adding the wild card in general, the mixing of the interleague, everything that they're doing, I really like it, and I wouldn't change any of it.
Caleb, if I recall correctly, way back, I guess it was mid-season or maybe even a little bit before that, when I first brought up the concept of shortening the schedule, you were one on the panel that said, oh, no, hell no, leave it alone. I like it the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right.
But how do you compensate that against giving your Pirates a 3-game series in a wild card?
Yeah, I don't think that you – I don't know. I mean, I really don't. I really don't want the season shortened.
We're going to be going to Thanksgiving. We're going to be going to Thanksgiving,
I know,
before, we
yeah.
get the, before we get the World Series in.
And as I would like there to be a 3-game playoff, that's not going to happen. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I don't think that it's a feasible thing. I really don't think that it's going to happen. I really don't, unless in multiple wild card games there are crazy things that happen that cause a team to actually lose. Let's say that a replay happens wrong and they completely get it wrong. And that'll actually end a game. You know, something kind of like that happening would need to happen before there's a change. There has to be something showing other than a fan or a fan group saying, oh, man, I wish that we had a second shot because I'm really mad that we all lost and blah. That's not going to be enough. I'm just going to say it now. It's not. So for me as a fan, I would love to see that because, man, it was horrible seeing the Pirates lose out last season. It was
mm-hmm.
rough, but mm-hmm. I just don't see it happening. I just don't think that they're going to change it because, like you guys have said, that this one game wild card, it just has such an excitement, such a game 7 type of an atmosphere. That really reins in all the kind of casual fans to want them to finish out the postseason, to watch the rest of it, to be like, whoa, that was a great thing happening. I want to finish it out and see what actually happens. And so from that aspect, I really don't think it'll change because then the Major League Baseball is going to end up losing those the Game 7 loving type of a fans. like those guys who just love watching that type of an atmosphere, they're just going to lose those guys.
Well, I will make a prediction here right now. Let me throw this in here because I got to get to a couple of things and I got to start to wrap it up here. But I'm going to make a prediction here right now. I hear what you're saying, and I understand that Nick over there is uncharacteristically being wishy-washy. I predict wild card will move to three games. The wild card series will move to three games, and the season will get cut back to 154. I'm not saying when, but I would expect that it will be sometime within the next 3 to 5 years. That is what will happen. 154, there is a precedent for it. So therefore, Major League Baseball will not feel bad about doing it. That's what will happen because people are going to call for more playoffs. That is what they're going to call for. Here's what we got to do. We got to real quick get into our series streak challenge. Two of our participants are not here this evening. However, I do have their choices. And for those that have been following, and these picks will be up over on our Frat House Sports Facebook page within minutes after this show concludes. Get over to Frat House Sports. Leave spaces in between. Look for our little purple icon and give us a like. Every week we've been coming to you here. We've been picking a series that we believe will win in the next in that series. Generally, we try to pick an underdog. Sean, yes, I did manage to get a hold of him, is picking for this week. Oh, this is an upset. Sean is picking the Twins over the Orioles.
That is a four-game series as well. So, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Nick has gone back to his Mariners, and he is picking the Mariners over the White Sox. Caleb, you are picking whom?
Well, I'm going to have to go with the opposite of Sean. I'm going to take the Orioles.
Orioles over the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Four-game series as well. So that's another
thing
that's going to be interesting.
And I am picking it. I'm going to pick an upset, a true upset myself. I'm going to go with the Angels over the Blue Jays. I'm going to pick the Angels over the Blue Jays. Right now, what are the standings? I'm 11-8. Nick is 10-9. Caleb, you are 9-10. Sean is 8-11. It couldn't get much tighter as we move forward. I think we need to get a three-game series in on that. there we go. Hey, many thanks. Many thanks. I got 90 seconds here. Many thanks to Nick for jumping in here with us this evening and filling in for Sean. I appreciate that, buddy. We appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure, always.
Baseball Hot Corner. Get over to www.baseballhotcorner and check him out over there. Listen, can I use a double negative? Do not get unused to hearing us. That's a double negative. There we go. I did it perfectly. We're going to have all three of us here together on Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. It'll be the second half of my normal relaxed Frat House Saturday program. We're going to be introducing our fantasy sports program. It'll be specifically fantasy football. We're going to introduce that to you on Saturday. We're going to put up a lot of notices about that. You're going to want to be checking that out. Make sure you're back here with us on Thursday evening for our Frat House Sports Show. Oh, gosh. What number are we into? I think we're 206. I think that's where we are. 206 weeks. After 200, you start to lose count. We'll be back here with you. The flagship program, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you're here for that one. Again, many thanks to all of you that have been listening in tonight. And you know what you got to do? You got to get out there. Enjoy your baseball.